This is The Topic is Trek, episode 1 for July 14th, 2017. He's dead, Jim. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already! Well, hello, everyone. I'm one of your co-hosts, Clinton Alvord, and beaming in to join me on The Topic is Trek, as always, are Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. I couldn't find a sound effect for beaming quite fast enough. 10 minutes before we joined on this call, I just upgraded my soundboard so I can keep one podcast sound effects separate from the other because it was going to be a mishmash. Anyway, it's good to be here.
And it's good to have you here.
And guess what? I'm here too.
Craig's here now. Yeah. We picked him up on SETI Alpha 5.
This is SETI Alpha 5.
He was a little mad that we left him there.
Yeah. All those years. All right.
He got sand in his shoes and everything. It was just a real nightmare.
Earworms, the whole thing.
Yeah. The whole thing. That's right.
So I'm feeling go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it's good to finally be here, that we got this together finally.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for ages and we finally said, let's go ahead and do it. We don't know what we're talking about, but maybe it'll be entertaining anyway.
Hey, we do know it will be a Trek.
Yes, because that is the topic.
That's right.
I feel like we should have a countdown clock to Discovery. I should have a little thing that says how many days until that premieres, but I haven't. So this is a work in progress. Next time around, we'll have that.
That's right. But
then, of course, when people listen to the show in 3 years, they'll go, what countdown? The show's already over. What are you talking about?
The whole series is done.
Hey, man, come on. Good old days.
That's right.
But if we want to stay topical, we are going to go into subspace chatter. So let's tap into that subspace chatter and see what's happening in and around the Trek universe.
Working. I had to throw that in there.
You are in error.
No, he's absolutely correct. So our first story is one that I think a lot of people have heard by this point, but it's a Star Trek versus Star Wars argument that ends in assault and arrest. And it takes place in Oklahoma City, and this story comes to us from goodforutah.com and many other sources as well.
Wait, it's in Oklahoma City, but it comes from Good for Utah. This news gets around.
So it's been a question for decades, which is better, Star Wars or Star Trek? Though the debate may continue forever, two men in Oklahoma City allegedly took things far beyond a verbal dispute to a full-fledged altercation, which resulted in the arrest of 23-year-old Jerome White.
What about the other guy? Or was he just fighting with himself?
I guess so. I guess he's, hey, I'm just...
Split personality.
Maybe he gave the right answer, which would have been, of course, Star Trek.
No, the Force is with me, and I am one with the Force. The Force is with me, and I am one with the Force.
He was one of these guys that was white on one side and black on the other, and he was arguing with the guy with the black on the side.
So but apparently they were gaming and they got into this argument at some point about which was better. And, you know, they presented their arguments and things got a little out of control. Police were called. There was choking involved, not forced choking, apparently like real actual choking of a person. And it just went horribly wrong. And I think that, you know, we often have this debate, and my feeling about this is always there is neither one that's better. they're two different things.
Yeah, they are their own worlds. It's
it's like when I say to people, well, okay, but they're both science fiction things. You gotta like one better. Why? I mean, if I liked Westerns, I could like this Western and that Western or that detective show and this detective show, and they're different than each other. And it makes no sense. So,
you know, it's funny. I tell you what I find funny. And I just saw this today. They were talking about, I'm trying to remember where it was at. It was like in a video, and Star Trek has some to owe to Star Wars, as Star Wars has a lot to owe to Star Trek. Because I've seen a quote from George Lucas where he was like, you know, Star Trek paved the road for some of the science fiction he wanted to do, like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And then because of the success of Star Wars, Star Trek was able to be made into a film because Paramount wanted their sci-fi back in the thing. So they kind of go hand in hand. So even then,
you're speaking on a commercial level, though.
Yeah, but even then, I'm just saying, even then. Okay, so there's that. George Lucas was given Star Trek credit. But then the stories are, their only common thread is they're in space.
Yeah, pretty much. That's about it. I mean,
they're not even in the same space-time.
Exactly. They're not in the same galaxy. They're not existing in the same time period. It's, so you don't, and I think a lot of people are over it. They just go,
yeah,
I just like the shows, and I think that's what
people did not get the memo.
No, they didn't get the memo. They're thinking, I don't care about either of these shows. Firefly is where it's at. So, you know, at the Expanse, everything is ruled by the Expanse.
I'm going for Babylon 5. It was made on an Amiga.
Hey, next up, Marvel versus DC.
That's right.
Because the topic is Trek.
And speaking of which, Craig, I believe you have the next story.
There, we have to throw a desk bell in if we say that now.
Yes. So anyway, this is a poster set of the 30th anniversary. Can't believe it's 30 years already.
I remember. It seems like TOS just turned 25. What happened?
Well, it coincides with my high school graduation, which is 30 years.
I'm feeling 30 old.
Years. I know. Tell me about it. So, anyway, this poster set's really cool. So the Next Generation fans will be able to get their hands on a 3-piece set of TNG posters. To celebrate the 30th anniversary of Star Trek The Next Generation, Dusty Abel has meticulously illustrated two incredible works of art featuring heroes and villains from across all 7 seasons, from Picard, to Worf, to Riker, and Yar.
Wait, which one of those are the villains?
Yeah, well, it depends on which episode you're watching.
And is it Will Riker or is it Tom Riker? Yeah,
that's right.
Ooh.
Tom Riker. Yeah. So, and they got admirals and ships and blah, 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 different Data's. It says even Data's cat Spot is in there. These are beautiful posters. I would love to have one.
They are. But I think the most important thing, because I saw these posters when they were first, I think Roddenberry posted these. And I'm looking going, I know who that is. I know who that is. I have no idea who that is. How am I going to find out what's what? And the great thing is the set comes with a key.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
So you're able to, you know, identify these people. And because obviously it's a caricature of all the characters. Yep. Sometimes they're a bit more spot on than others. And so I gave myself a little bit of leeway sometimes going, well, that doesn't exactly look like Riker, so I'm not exactly sure if I know who this is over here. But there's a key to it, and you'll be able to identify every single person. And it's pretty funny. I thought it was interesting that Q is not the traditional Q in this. He's the human Q in it, as best as I can recall in there anyway.
Where he's in the uniform?
Outfit.
There's another Worf in the background dressed up in his Durango outfit standing next to the minuet. So there's multiple
beside the holodeck. It's beside the holodeck.
Yeah. The arch. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I see Q as Q down here in the corner.
Yeah. If you look around the holodeck, there's a lot of the holodeck, centric characters. There's, Stephen Hawking. There's Picard as Dixon Hill.
Okay.
You know, and there's, Data, Sherlock, so on and so forth. And so it kind of blends out.
Interesting.
Yeah. There was a poster very similar to this, might even be by the same artist, that was done for the original series several years ago. The same type of look to it. I don't know if it's the same artist or not. But
The border kind of has an Elkars look to it, too.
Yes.
It's classy.
Yep. I really like this.
Now, looking at the article, the set is $100, and the two posters are 40 by 27 each, it says, each measuring. And the key is 28 by 13.
28 by 13? Oh, the key is, yeah. Right. 27 by 40 is like full-size movie poster size. That's what I've got hanging in the studio. That's good size.
Two of those.
There's on the second poster, there's a Nagilum in the background. He looks like a Cheshire cat.
Hey, speaking of Star Trek posters, you know, of course, there's been thousands of them over the years. Mm-hmm. But one of them I remember whenever I think of Star Trek posters, one of them I wish I'd gotten. It has it's an old TOS one, and it says, "Everything I learned about life, I learned from Star Trek." You ever seen that?
Yes, yes.
I figured you had. So, yeah, and it goes through, has a bunch of stuff listed on it about life lessons from Star Trek, which is cool. Anyway.
So where can one get one of these posters, Craig?
It says you can go to the Roddenberry shop. Let's see.
Yep.
The Roddenberry shop. Yep, right there.
I think it's on Roddenberry.com, I believe.
Yeah, shop.roddenberry.com, and you can find the posters in there.
Very cool.
And speaking of merchandise,
we have more merchandise.
But wait, there's more.
Like Yogurt says,
merchandising. There's always merchandise. Yeah, merchandising.
Spaceballs the flamethrower. Kids love it. Because the topic is Trek.
Oh, forgot. Ding the bell. There we go.
Got to stay on the bell. We have more merchandise. More San Diego Comic-Con exclusives have been announced for the convention taking place later this month. It's coming up really fast.
Really fast.
The exclusives. And actually, Ben and Keith from TG Geeks are going there.
Oh, cool.
They've been invited. The exclusives include figures, comics, books, and a pin. First up, I feel like an auction. First up is Biff Bang Pow and Entertainment Earth's The Big Bang Theory / Star Trek The Next Generation figure set. The figurines come from the Star Trek TNG cosplay episode, The Bakersfield Expedition, and include the Vasquez Rocks pop-up display backdrop. That's worth it right there.
I want it. I want it now.
The set costs $49.99 US dollars and will be available at booth 2343. If any sets are remaining after Comic-Con, they will be sold online at Entertainment Earth and can be pre-ordered there. IDW Publishing will also have several Comic-Con exclusives, including a collectible volume of Star Trek Boldly Go, first six issues located at booth 2743. Only 200 limited editions of a photo cover variant will be sold. There are more items in here, including at booth 1530, Vault Collectibles is offering a retailer exclusive cover edition of Star Trek Waypost number 6. Cost for this special issue is $15. And finally, Titan Books is offering a limited edition of their forthcoming Star Trek The Next Generation, The Art of Juan Ortiz. At first, I thought that was a Redshirt's name. This book features 178 posters, speaking of posters, and includes a signed tip-in sheet and exclusive art print. Get yours at booth 5537 for just $60. That's all available. Thank you, TrekMovie.com. I mean, sorry, TrekToday.com.
Well, good merchandise, and I've been to Comic-Con once, and trying to find the booth. It's nice that they're giving booth numbers because it is a massive, massive place to be looking for anything.
Well, like any vendor hall at a big con, you've got to have those row numbers, and I've not seen them go into the thousands. Well, I guess, Phoenix Comic-Con had them up into like 1700, 1800. But they were by hundreds. So if this is any indication, this is a big convention hall.
At Heroes Con, I think they start at 1,000. So it looks like there's a lot more, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. They know what's up.
But Sam, have you guys been to Vasquez Rock?
No. That's on the bucket list.
I was there a couple of years ago, and when I came home, Bonnie was jealous. So the next time we went out to California, I took her up there as well.
I seem to recall that coming up in your retirement video.
Yes. It's a really odd feeling as you're driving up, because you just get off the highway and you drive a little ways, go onto a dirt road, and you just see the rocks up in front of you. And you can drive right up to where they are. There's a space, that gap in between the two of them on either side. And we were climbing all around them. Of course, you have to do your Star Trek poses.
Okay.
Because there's no styrofoam rocks, so you can't pick up a styrofoam rock and throw it. That's like a missed opportunity.
Bring a big bamboo cannon.
Yeah.
I did find some sulfur and some diamonds.
And some saltpeter.
Like, yeah.
You're good.
I didn't know what to do with it, though. So couldn't figure out what to do.
If only he had the time.
Well, slightly off the topic is Trek. When you were... You were talking about driving up to Vasquez Rocks. There was one of my friends went out west, and I think it was in the Arches National Park or something like that. And I just happened to finish watching Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I'm looking through Facebook and I'm like, whoa, I'd recognized the rock formation in my friend's picture that was just at the beginning of Indiana Jones where the young Indiana Jones, River Phoenix was Indiana Jones. And, you know, they were going up into the tunnels. I was like, that's it. I even found the screenshot and put it in the comments. I was like, it was kind of weird. It was like, I just happened to recognize it. And it was a weird feeling.
Did it ruin the illusion?
No, I was okay with it.
That's good. there's a whole culture around that. I've seen where people have gone and found the crash site for the Jupiter 2, where they flew the small model of the Jupiter 2 down.
Oh yeah.
So that the cave where the Bat Cave is, it's all those things, and the generally in the greater Los Angeles area, of course, where they're located. And so you can find websites where you can go to all sorts of places like that.
I was a bit distressed at the liberties they took on Star Trek IV at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. First of all, they say that we're going north to Sausalito, when in fact Monterey is south of the Bay Area. And then they were looking at the whales and said, let's go down. No, they were outside. That's what it was. They were outside.
Yes.
Looking outside, overlooking the patio, and said, let's go downstairs, which is from like the third floor down to the first floor where they just were. you're messing up the whole layout of this building, people.
It's science fiction and it's just a movie. You should really just relax.
I was just there before that movie came out. And that's why I'm like, that's not where that is. You're going the wrong way. You're right.
Move on to our next story then. This is about sort of on the merchandising thing as well, but in a different slant. It's about Dr. Seuss Enterprises fires phasers at Star Trek mashup.
Okay.
Sounds kind of violent for Dr. Seuss. Springfield native Theodore S. Geisel's heirs are engaged in a legal battle over a planned mashup book that marries one of his popular Dr. Seuss children's books with the sci-fi TV series Star Trek. The legal battle began when Comics Mix launched a Kickstarter page to fund a Star Trek-themed version called the Places You'll Boldly Go.
Oh, really?
Which mimics the Geisel writing style and lifts the title of his 1990 bestseller, The Places You'll Go.
That was 1990? I thought that book was a lot older than that.
Well, I can't remember if it came out posthumously or not. I have to look up when.
I thought everything he did was like written in the 1800s.
No, you have no sense of time whatsoever. The new book would be written by Ty Templeton and Star Trek scripter David Gerald, who wrote the popular episode The Trouble with Tribbles, among other things for Star Trek. The campaign to fund printing and distribution of the book promoted cease and desist letters, prompted both cease and desist letters from CBS Studios, owner of Star Trek, and Dr. Seuss Enterprises, name connection there. When the author did not respond, Seuss's heir sent Kickstarter a takedown notice, and the crowdfunding site disabled the campaign after it had raised nearly $30,000. The lawsuit followed. However, a federal judge in Southern California recently granted a partial motion to dismiss the suit by Dr. Seuss Enterprises, finding that the work copied many aspects of Seuss' original, though it's not more than necessary to accomplish its transformative purpose. And, you know, that's, we're getting to that whole area of when is something being ripped off and when are you transforming the work into something else. And that's something that a lawyer would have to get involved with. I don't really understand all the whys and wherefores of this, but I thought it was interesting. And I especially got a connection to that because Dr. Seuss, Theodore Geisel, was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, where they actually have a museum. And of course the connection is I live in Massachusetts, was born and raised in Massachusetts. So I thought, oh, look at this. Oh, that's not a good thing as far as Star Trek is concerned.
There's also a Dr. Seuss, I don't know if it's an exhibit or museum proper in Balboa Park in San Diego.
He moved to California. Yeah. So it's possible that that's the connection there. Yep. For that museum.
See, I have a connection with him as well.
Yes.
Oh boy.
I used to read Dr. Seuss when I was a kid.
Well, that's perfectly a perfectly good connection. Actually,
he said he shares his birthday with my son.
Would you pinch him on the neck? Would you pinch him? What the heck? Come on, we can make our own book.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you go to Kickstarter and you go to the link to the Kickstarter for this book, it's just a placeholder page that says, "Oh, the places you'll boldly go is the subject of an intellectual property dispute and is currently unavailable."
Oh,
it's just my part domain name.
Give me a PDF.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's try to go into something a bit more fun.
There we go.
Oh, my goodness. Punching some fun.
It's on the viewer now. So, Star Trek breakups, for some reason, just trended on social media. And I was reading through some of these, and they're kind of funny, so I don't know what kicked us off, but the universe of Star Trek as envisioned by Gene Roddenberry is a pretty optimistic place. The nations of the Earth are united, and most, if not all, forms of racism and sexism have been overcome. However, even in a utopia galaxy, likely has its share of heartbreaks.
Aww.
As soon as I read that line, I kept thinking of, was it Star Trek Beyond, when Kirk was talking about the mundane this and that of the ship and interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yes.
Some for the better?
Is it some for the worse. She throws a shirt at the guy. Anyway, that idea was trending on social media recently with a hashtag Star Trek breakups. The hashtag invited social media users to share how to break up Star Trek style with other fans. The result was a series of puns, references, gifs, memes, and fun other bits of Star Trek fandom ephemera that serve to help let your significant other know that you're interested in boldly going on without them. So I'll skip down to some of these. I'm not going to read them all because there's quite a few. Mm-hmm. But they're set phasers to dumped.
Yeah. Ooh, burn.
Yeah, my boyfriend did not survive the transporter test program, and his molecules were scattered across the asteroid field. Yeah, that wasn't as good as that one. I'm afraid you're not Star Trek, Starfleet material. Star Trek breakups. I'm afraid this will have to be our last star date.
Oh.
I think we should beam up other people.
And does she get a separation sequence?
Yeah.
Ow.
Live long and single. Let's see if we get another one.
Why don't you try on this red shirt?
Here you go. I just can't be with you anymore.
Oh, that's
a groaner. That's a groaner.
Oh, bye.
Yeah, here you go. Here's some where, like as a causality here, because she called Worf Chewbacca. but that was funny. It's not me. It's not me, not Q. No, it's me, not Q.
Not Q. All right. Have fun with that. Go to the show notes and click there and read a whole bunch, and maybe you can use one someday.
It's Janeway or the highway.
Or the highway.
Oh, ow. Is that what we're ending on?
That's what we're ending on.
Well, not the show, but we'll end this article on that.
So we wanted to since we talked about the fact that Comic-Con is right around the corner.
Or that right corner, down the street for me.
We wanted to go over some of the panels that were going to be at Comic-Con that are Star Trek related. So the first one you have there, Chuck.
So if you're in the neighborhood, you don't want to miss Roddenberry Presents Thursday, July 20th at 1:30 p.m. in room 24ABC. Apparently that's three rooms joined together. Television and film producers Rod Roddenberry and Trevor Roth will share some rarely seen treasures from the Roddenberry Vault and discuss this year's 30th anniversary of the beloved Star Trek Next Generation. Boy, we feel old.
Hmm.
And then we have your Star Trek podcast HQ, SoCal, and that's going to be Thursday as well at 4 p.m. in the Neil Morgan Auditorium of the San Diego Central Library.
So they're expanding out of the main convention center is what I've been hearing.
Yeah, they do that. I know they do that at New York as well. New York was mostly at the Javits Center, but there were other things that happened in adjacent venues.
And our good friend Larry's doing that one.
Yes, mm-hmm. He'll be joined by Nasty Known Trek podcasters from Southern California to talk about the recent boon of diversity and the role that podcasts and internet radio play in keeping fan interest up during the fallow time.
Fallow time.
And what they can expect with Trek finally back in series.
And Thursday, July 20th, at 5 p.m., Star Trek, the next 50 years, which we will feel doubly old by that time. The authors of the critically acclaimed best-selling two-volume series, The 50-Year Mission, Mark A. Altman and Edward Gross, along with Access Hollywood's Scott Mance, will look back at 50 decades of Star Trek.
No, 5 decades. 50 decades. Oh, my God.
I just realized what I said. Whoa. Speaking of old. Speculate where the franchise will boldly go over the next 50 years, which I think is probably a lot of speculation there, including the latest news of Star Trek Discovery and the future of the movie franchise and why we need Trek today more than ever, which I agree.
Yes, indeed.
Larry's coming back. He's got another engagement Friday night at 8 p.m. in rooms 29 A and B. He's going to aim his annual archive deep dive at the big 3-0 for the Next Generation. He's just rubbing it in on us now. And he counts the latest Twitter headlines on Discovery till it finally hits the streaming scene. As usual, look for all Trek via bloopers, in-jokes, and Touchstone visuals, and, if lucky, an extended sneak peek at the Con of Wrath documentary now in post-production. Yes!
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that documentary. Then also on Friday, July 21st, is Klingon Lifestyles.
And that's wow.
At 8:30 p.m. with sound effects in room 6A. Klingons, weapons, an invasion into Klingon space, and a live-action batless sword battle. Come join the fun and mayhem for the 24th annual Klingon stage play. Come in your best Trek attire. All alien races are welcome.
No opera allowed.
Then we get the big one coming up. You get that one, Craig?
Ooh.
Yes. Star Trek Discovery. I'm hoping this is actually an official one. So I imagine if you go here, you're probably going to see something. You're going to see some video there. So Saturday, July 22nd at 2:30 p.m., Ballroom 20. So this fall, Star Trek Discovery follows the voyages of Starfleet on their missions to discover new worlds and new life forms while learning that to truly understand all things alien, you must first understand it yourself. Join members in the cast alongside creative minds behind the new series for a conversation and an introduction to Star Trek Discovery. Dun-dun-dun. So I imagine you're probably going to see some footage there.
Right. Point. Now, what happens if you're at Comic-Con? They do have a replay room later in the day, and they show... Now, Ballroom 20 is one of the big ballrooms there. The other one is Hall H, and that's where a lot of the movie presentation stuff is. Ballroom 20 is where a lot of the big television stuff is, if I recall the way that splits out.
Okay.
And they'll do replays. The big difference is that if you go to a replay, you won't see if they're showing clips or any sort of media that's not included. You only see the panel discussion.
That sucks.
You also, there's also a ban on people filming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow any Comic-Con, somebody films stuff anyway. So,
yeah,
it may not stay up for long on YouTube, and I certainly don't encourage people to break the rules, but I've just got this feeling that if they show anything at all, that we will have the opportunity to see it. And a lot of times now what they'll do, though, is they'll show it first at Comic-Con, but within 24 hours, they will officially post the same thing if it's a new trailer or something like that.
So if you record it, how can they get in touch with us, guys?
You want to get in touch with the topic is Trek. And use
I imagine since it's July and the show comes out in September, whatever they show there, I'm guessing it will be pretty soon we're going to see it anyway, whether it be a trailer or just some footage or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if they show the first couple of minutes of something that they might not officially post, that might just be for the auditorium, and then somebody's going to do a bad upload of it with a, you know, shaky cam type of thing. But like I said, if it's a new extended trailer or something like that, chances are we'll see it officially. So I you know, that's my hope anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll definitely hear what they have to say. One way or another, any questions asked, any new presentation about stuff, any dirt that's going on. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing some of that as soon as this panel is over.
You can't say Comic-Con without.
Tommy.
Killed my All right. son.
That pretty much gets us out of our subspace chatter. So, gentlemen, it's time to go on our main mission.
Coordinates set, Captain.
All right, it's time for us
course laid in.
Time for us to head out on our main mission, where we take a Z-minus 10,000 meter dive into one subject. Try to stay on course, because the topic is Trek. So this is a recent article that came out, and I'm going to quote here. Recently, Star Trek Discovery showrunner Gretchen J. Berg and Aaron Harberts told Entertainment Weekly that the main characters on Discovery aren't safe from the slaughterhouse.
Harbert.
Is that Harbert. A new room on the ship?
Harbert.
Yeah. Harbert. 10 forward, they've got the slaughterhouse. don't use the room and you'll be fine. But Guinan's, no, there's no Guinan in the slaughterhouse. Just stay out of there.
Right.
They said their approach was influenced by Game of Thrones, where even the most beloved characters could die horribly at any moment.
Ned Stark.
They almost made it difficult to fall in love with these people because you didn't know if they were going to be taken away from you, Berg said. My question is, all right, how do we feel about this? And I want to preface this by saying that I thought about death in Star Trek. And my notes say that Star Trek has a horrible history. And we're talking about main characters here. We're not talking about crewman of the week. You know, the guy with the red shirt, we know he's going to die.
Right.
We have nothing invested in him. We don't even know his name most of the time. But we're talking about, if you're looking at this article, this is talking about main characters. So somebody you're supposed to invest in. And in that Game of Thrones type of scenario, This is a character who's been in multiple episodes, possibly multiple seasons, and suddenly they're just gone.
And the closest we got to that in Next Generation, of course, was Tasha Yar.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I found, let's see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I believe, Star Trek deaths. And I just want to
bring it on
each of these. Go through each. Now, the first one I put down is say, all right, you can say the Enterprise is a main character that's been
fair
killed.
Enough. Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is that there's always another one. So after that first one in The Search for Spock, and we got another Enterprise in the next movie, every time the Enterprise has been blown up, either we roll back and it didn't actually happen, or there's another one by the time the thing is over. So I don't really feel like that's a loss. You always know that there's going to be another one.
Well, actually, I mean, you kind of knew it was going to come up, but from
well said.
Sorry, I was trying to gather my thoughts. You know, the whole time during the voyage home, they didn't have the Enterprise. They didn't have a ship.
Right. The bird of prey.
Until they finally got back, you know, so.
They had to build another one at Utopia Planitia. Come on, you got to keep those guys employed.
Well, there was, it was time travel involved there, so. Yeah, I mean, they didn't even, you knew they were going to get one eventually, but it wasn't like the next day. Same, except for in Star Trek Beyond, it was literally the next day because the ship was in construction.
I was going to say, through the miracle of time lapse, look at that. Look how fast you can build a ship now. I feel like saying, yeah, that's how many times the Enterprise gets blown up. We can now build one in 20 minutes.
Scotty, can you put a fast forward on these people? Which, hey, by the way, side note, I think that was a cool little clip where they sped it up and you could see it building as they were looking
at it. It definitely was. I mean, I love the detail in that because you would expect that type of detail if someone was building a physical model to have all the decks and so forth, but to then go through that, because, you know, not being an expert in doing computer models, although I play around with it, if you don't have to build it, just like a physical set, you're not going to bother to build it. But you had to have all those inner details as you're doing this model making.
Right.
Who else died?
The next death that comes up is Spock. Now, Spock dies what I consider to be one of the most noble and heartfelt deaths in all of Star Trek. And you would say, great, so that's kind of our base point to go by.
Whoops. Don't know what that was. Something auto-played on this page.
Something happened out of...
You got mail.
But what happens? He's back in the next movie. It's like you take away a lot of that impact because he's back again. And so I felt like it was almost cheating that scene or cheapening that scene by saying, okay, we're going to roll that back and actually he's still alive.
Right.
Then you go to Tasha Yar. And then you have her come back again in the alternate universe. Okay, so now she has a noble death. Great. So let's use that as our model. Say, okay, somebody comes back, noble sacrifice, goes back to save the future, blah, blah, blah. Except then you fast forward a couple more seasons and you find out, because now we have the person that looks like Tasha Yar, who's Tasha Yar's daughter.
Romulan. Yeah, right. Romulan. Yeah.
Half that, Romulan.
Oh, no, she survived in the battle. She and the crew were taken to, to Romulus, and she became the concubine of this other person. And when she was trying to escape with her daughter, the daughter ratted her out. And she was killed. Okay, so we just cheapened Tasha Yar's death.
Again.
All right, so we'll move on from there.
To good to bad again.
So now we have Kirk. Kirk's death was completely idiotic. He survived.
It was kind
of. He falls off of a bridge. Oh my.
He was, he had to get the clamps on, it was a noble effort. It was a sorry death, but it was a noble effort.
It was just, let me ask you, when you saw that scene, did you feel like this is emotionally wrenching or, well, this is stupid? I was watching it going, what, Captain Kirk, this is how Captain Kirk dies.
Well, he's buried up there right next to Wash. Same rocks, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so now we go on to Data. All right, so Data sacrifices himself, gets Picard out of the situation, sacrifices himself. 20 minutes later, we've got this backup version of Data. He's suddenly becoming like Data.
Because all your data should be backed up.
That's exactly right.
What part didn't you get? Come on, we've all been in IT long enough.
Redundancy.
And then we have Trip Tucker.
Trip.
All right, so Trip sacrifices himself in this bizarre scene near the end of the final episode of Enterprise, which is holodeck. Weird thing going on with Riker and Troy.
You made it to the final episode?
Oh,
just
yes.
Kidding.
Yeah.
I watched every one of them.
And it comes out of left field. It doesn't seem to have emotional resonance either. And I just feel like Star Trek has done a horrible job trying to deal with this whole deaths thing. So I don't know how I feel about Star Trek, because clearly Star Trek has done death before. I can find several examples of where they've done death, and they seem to roll back on it. They seem to not really want to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I feel about it in this new series.
Yeah, because like you said, anything could happen. So they could easily bring somebody back that you go, that you're starting to care for, then they die off, and hey, they can come back and, oh, they're not dead, or just cheat. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it does add a lot of confusion to my feels.
Yeah. Yeah. All the feels are mixed.
Just kill them already. So how do you feel about going forward? They're going to say, all right, no one's off limits. I mean, we technically they've already done that, but it sounds like this is going to be more permanent.
Yeah, I think if the story supports it and it's done well, then I'm all for it. I really don't have a problem using death to indicate the dangers of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that that is one of the things that, again, Star Trek kind of skirts around sometimes. Mm-hmm. They will deal with death. So it's not like they've never done that, but if it's in support of the story, I can see it. I'm not one of those people that says, no, you can't possibly kill off that character because they're so good. Well, these things happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't
contracts I don't really change.
There's an explosion in there's a gunfire in the embassy at the end of the season of Dynasty every time around.
Hey, by the way, there is on a side note, Kirk did come back.
Kirk came back in.
Do you know?
The Altverse?
In the books. In the books?
Yes. Yes, in the books. The novel, The Return. I love these series, by the way. I read most of them, but the Return starts off with on their own Viridian 3. And the Romulans come and steal the body of Kirk and resurrect him. So, which he ended up having a pretty interesting journey. I mean, it's been a long time since I read it. I'm actually thinking about rereading them, but I think it added another level to it. But you're right. It's like, okay, so there's always an out to death.
Yeah, and so if they make death in Discovery, that will be something indeed different. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I would definitely be interested in, you know, that again, if it's significant to the story, do it, because I think if it has a lasting effect, and certainly we expect Discovery to be continuing on the tradition of an arch, a story arc, that, you know, if this has ramifications down the road and it drives things forward, then by all means, you know, I mean, don't kill off a person a week, because then you kind of cheapen it. I think it has to be something that's really necessary.
Poignant.
But yes, exactly.
Now, especially like TOS or even TNG, you know, there's got to be some core characters that kind of stick around, though, so you can care about the show. If they start swapping out everybody, then, right. You know, what are you invested in?
I don't know. I think it could rotate over the course. Let's say it goes 5-6 seasons. Think about the people you know at work. You know, in 5 or 6 years, most of them have changed positions, either left on their own accord, some have died. So, you know, so it's mm-hmm. it's a different rotation. I wouldn't mind seeing some character changes. Not, like you said, not every week, but bring it on. I mean, you're right. It is a dangerous job. Things are going to happen. Promotions happen. I'm kind of surprised Riker never did get promoted off of Next Generation. He was given a number of opportunities.
No, I'm going to stick around here. I like this place.
It's cool here.
I like being number one.
Number two.
So I'd say bring it on.
Yeah, I think that it would be a good thing. And it would just be interesting to see how, you know, is it going to be add to my list of what the heck is going on here? Or are they actually going to be having something that's truly death?
I would like to see more dynamics in the crew, because that's real life. Let's engage with it. As long as it's well written, I got no problem with it.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, and by the way, one death I didn't put in here because I thought, well, it was off camera and it was in essence by necessity, which is the death of Ambassador Spock in Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
So, you know, people did, that really was a case, though. People did have to come to grips with the fact that that character was actually gone. And, you know, it's kind of odd to say this, but, you know, like Spock is affected by Spock's death, which gets a very psychological. As I was watching the movie at that point, I'm thinking, all right, Spock is talking about it clinically in bones to some extent, but that's him. It's an alternate version of him that he's talking about in this, you know, third person. It's kind of I don't know how I would handle that.
Yeah, that would be very surreal to A, have an older alternate you running around, and then find out that you died. Go to your own funeral and say rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Just kidding. Here I am.
I feel great and young again.
You'll be dead soon.
Take your daily red matter.
It's like nitroglycerin. It's wonderful. All right. So any final thoughts on death in Star Trek Discovery?
I'm for it.
Oh,
I'm staying away from it.
That just sounds horribly, horribly wrong.
I keep thinking, you know, they don't have holodeck, so they got to fill that space with something. Why not a slaughterhouse?
You must stop at the slaughterhouse, Craig. Now I'm starting to think it will be interesting. Yes.
Excited.
Well, you know,
it's in Clinton. When you come down to deck 3 and room 6,
clean up on holodeck 5.
Well, at that point, they actually, I mean, if it's 10 years before TOS, they don't have the replicators, right? I mean, so.
True.
Yeah, because they had a cook on Enterprise.
Yeah, so maybe there's some little mini cows? Or I don't know.
They had a cook on Voyager too.
They never on TOS. They never did quite explain that. So did they have cooks there?
Well,
they had kind of. They never said replicator, but where were they doing their food? I remember seeing them off the wall and stuff, but
yeah. Well, because I'm thinking, I thought it was that they didn't have that, but then there was the episode where they bring the security guard on board, and he asked for. I think he asked for soup,
mm-hmm.
and they just, the guy pushes a couple of buttons and, chicken soup or whatever the soup is comes out.
Right.
So I don't know. I know, clearly they have a chicken salad sandwich and coffee, but that's another story.
Filled with tribbles.
Well, see,
actually, they did have cooks. They were just behind the wall. They opened up a little pass through and pushed it in there, called it a replicator.
But they did have cases where there actually was a chef, because there was the talk about having the
for all the ambassadors
turkey taste like for Christmas or Thanksgiving, having the turkey taste like turkey or something like that,
there was a reference to
they had cooks that they had a whole kitchen scene in Undiscovered Country.
Yes. So sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other.
They use the replicators when it's convenient.
When the cook is on vacation. He's on shore leave.
He went to Risa.
Hey, but I'm going to see him again.
He's cooking.
He's on Arrakis getting some spice.
Hey, remember now, Chuck, the topic is Trek.
Salt and pepper.
There you go. Where's my desk bell? My desk bell broke.
Well, we're back from our main mission. And it's time to go to our warp speed roundtable.
Nope, I got nothing.
Okay.
That doesn't bode well for the end of the show because I got to get the music going.
So now that we're safely back on board, it's time to take on one of our rapid fire topics in our Warp Speed Roundtable. And this time around, we're going to play a game called Through the Looking Glass. And I'm going to give a movie or an episode, and each of us is quickly going to say how we think it would change if it was placed in the Mirror Universe. This time around, that episode is Spock's Brain.
Okay, the sound effects are back.
There we go.
So the Mirror... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Mirror Universe, Spock's Brain... Thoughts and Craig, go.
Spock's brain is in his butt.
What?
The opposite.
What did they take out of his head?
Oh, you don't want to know.
No. Let's don't go there.
Is that where the phrase "ask for brains" comes from?
Right.
Very logical, though. Apparently.
Not everyone keeps their genitals in the same place.
All right,
I love this podcast. We could just reference it to death.
Yeah, right.
So that's Craig's thought. Chuck, what do you got?
Kara comes on board, presses some buttons, but instead of everybody swooning and falling down, they just shoot her. Or stab her. What, they have daggers. That's right.
My thought is they would see Spock without his brain moving around and going, cool, how do we get us some of those?
I'm really surprised nobody has cosplayed Spock without his brain.
Hey, there you go, Chuck.
That would be awesome.
For Dragon Con.
All you need is the ears, that thing he had on his head, and that green jumpsuit, and someone else can be walking around with a touchpad, or maybe just use their smartphone these days.
He has to have his brains in his butt.
Right.
Very, very Mirror. Good work there, Craig.
Spock sitting on his brains.
Did an operation where? Oh, yeah. Hemorrhoids? No, it took his brain out. Oh.
What's that smell?
Stop scratching your brains.
Oh, by the way, hey, before
high quality show.
All right, before you close, something I wanted to bring up. I thought about this when we were talking about San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
At Dragon Con, William Shatner will be there and Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, very good.
They can have
Yeah, they're going to fight it out. No, so I just thought I'd bring that up in case you're going to Dragon Con, you know. And I know there's going to be other Trek actors there. Usually we see LeVar Burton and
Garrett Wang.
Garrett Wang.
Wong. Wong.
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry. Yes. I made
that. You said it Wong.
Yes. I apologize. I apologize.
Oh, bye.
Yeah. So I wonder if, well, he's obviously doing a panel at one point or another. So if, I don't know whether the two of them would be on a panel together. They possibly there's some just Trek related overall panel. I don't know if has the Dragon Con schedule come out yet.
I don't know about the schedule. I've just seen the announcements. I think coming through Facebook, you know, oh, so-and-so is going to be at Dragon Con. So those two just caught my eye because I think it was in the last week or two.
Okay. Well, very good. All right. Well, I think it's about time to close this up. It's time to boldly go that away until next episode.
Yay.
Well, where's the theme, my music? Boys. There we go.
Yeah. There we go.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we'd love to hear from you, so follow us on Twitter at The Topic Is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. And be sure to check out our other mostly not Trek-related podcasts that we work on, Technorama and Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4.
There's a 4 in Technorama? Is it silent?
No.
Silent.
That show. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck and Craig and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as always, when we say here on The Topic Is Trek, don't put on the red shirt.
And Nanu Nanu. Wait.